We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Kelly.
With Matt Michaels, I'm Mike Kelly. This is the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast. It's presented by Shelter Insurance. Put shelter on your team for your insurance needs. You'll be glad that you did. Find an agent near you, shelterinsurance.com. A free personal protection review. We're your shield. Where your shelter. To talk about on today's program, on this Tuesday morning, fine Tuesday morning it is. Mm-hmm. Chilly outside, but it's still gorgeous outside. I'm feeling a little bit of spring in the air, right? We can talk about Missouri hoops. They play two this week, two very important games at Florida, and then at home against LSU for mm-hmm. Senior Day. Talk about the SEC standings and what might happen, because a lot could transpire this week. The final week of the regular season. The fact that we made it to the final week of the regular season is something to talk about. The women's tournament getting set to begin as well. March Madness just around the corner. But you want to begin, as you do each and every week, talking about baseball. Because you have got a trip coming up down to Frisco, Texas on Thursday.
Yes, that is the plan. Four games in Frisco for Mizzou baseball, and they get to play a good Dallas Baptist team for two, and they play a good Oklahoma team on Saturday and a good Arizona team on Sunday. It's actually one of the better non-conference events in the country down in Frisco, Texas, just like the Tigers played at Minute Maid Park last year against good competition. This one, everybody plays everybody, and we're going to find out a lot about those four teams that are down in the heart of Texas pretty quickly, I think, over the course of the weekend, so it should be a lot of fun.
Dallas Baptist, tell me a little bit more about that program.
They are a program that is, at this point, perennially at the top of the Missouri Valley, and they fight it out with Missouri State pretty much every year for 1-2 in the Valley Conference. Since it's a program that is in a southern locale, they definitely invest in their baseball. They care about it very deeply. They are not a team to be trifled with. That is not just hearing some name on the schedule if you're a casual fan and say, Dallas Baptist, why are they in there with Oklahoma and Arizona and Missouri? No, they're a good team. Every single team in this event is a good team. So Missouri gets two cracks at them, which I think is good, and all the games will help every other team in the non-conference RPI and stuff like that. It's a fun weekend of baseball.
I wouldn't dare trifle with the Fighting Baptists out of the city of Dallas. I wouldn't dare trifle with that. So just so I understand it, so they play baseball in the Valley?
They do.
Okay, what about hoops?
To be determined?
To be determined, yeah.
To be determined, I guess, sometimes. Yeah. I mean, they like to.
Yeah. Okay, so they're not playing.
You're a St. Louis guy. I mean, come on. Actually, that's one of the events I'd like to get to sometime. I never have, is Arch Madness. Seems kind of fun.
How did we transition to Arch Madness when we're trying to figure out if Dallas Baptist.
You brought up the Valley. What?
No, I just – no, well, I'm just – because I'm segueing to, okay, so they play baseball in the Missouri Valley, much like Missouri's wrestling team, because there is no wrestling in the SEC, has to find another league to go to.
That's
and it's
true.
A league that they have completely dominated.
Mm-hmm.
They own the MAC.
Well,
once again, another championship for Coach Smith and his boys.
Only 10 in a row.
Yeah.
Only 10 in a row and four individual champions. And by the way, they got all 10 through to the NCAA tournament in St. Louis, which will be in a couple of weeks' time. I think it's the 18th through the 20th that weekend in STL. And I remember the last time they were there and they had all 10, and everybody believed, and I was there, Mike, that that could be a year where they break through. I have the same feeling this year.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a year with all 10 and with Brian Smith saying he has confidence in his positions all the way down the roster that they have a real chance to do it. If any year is going to be it, this is going to be the year for a team that hasn't been rocked too much by COVID, been very consistent. I'm really excited to see what they have in store.
Well, I am too, and you know his team much more intimately than I do. I'm just excited for Brian, knowing him for as long as I have known him since his arrival at Missouri, and watching what he does to not only build his program but help build the sport of wrestling across the state of Missouri. The amount of time and effort that he puts into, and it's a shame that you can't have a full crowd, right? Because, you know, he spends so much time when you could in terms of selling tickets and getting people there. I mean, it's just, it's he's one of those guys you always root for, Brian Smith, because of the quality of person that he is. And he's a heck of a coach, obviously,
yeah.
too.
I would agree with everything you had to say. And, you know, in the short time that I've gotten to know him, always the first one to go out there and, like you said, put his foot forward and say, hey, here's the sport of wrestling and here's how we can grow it and on a national scale, not just in the state of Missouri. So he deserves commendation for that. And, oh, by the way, his teams win all the time. So we'll see what they have.
As you know, this podcast has a tendency to kind of go in a lot of different directions. I call it streams of consciousness.
It's my fault.
As we
I understand.
Talk about, no, it's mine, because as we talk about things and you mention things, then it gets my mind going, oh, we ought to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay, we mentioned attendance. Did you see which SEC school has said that they're going to fill up their stadium next year during the football season? They expect to have a full crowd of close to 100,000 when the football season begins.
The one that wears crimson.
The one that wins, that wears a lot of rings, too,
yeah.
for national championships. Yeah. Kind of interesting, huh? It'll be interesting to see who follows suit now.
Yeah. And I think that it will be on a case-by-case basis. It will be a local decision. I also noticed that decision announced by the athletic director, Greg Byrne, did not happen until after campus said, okay, we plan on having in-person instruction in the fall. And then they came right out and said, all right, we'll be first there. This is our plan. I think every athletic department in this league, Mike, is planning on some form of that. Jim Stirk had a media availability before recent home basketball game and said, well, we have to plan as if we will get capacity or close to it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's announced yet, but that's what the planning is behind the scenes. Everyone is hopeful for that. And if things trend well and people get vaccinated, hopefully all 14 sites will be able to do that safely.
Remember when we began this little journey called the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast, and we're just talking about being grateful and also thankful for the opportunity? And I don't know if you feel it. I just got back into town. I was traveling on Monday, came back early this morning. We're trending in the right direction, right? And now that we have the availability of vaccines and people are now starting to get vaccinated, you know, Johnson & Johnson comes out. That's now going to be available here in the near future. You've had Moderna and also Johnson & Johnson, I believe, announcing today that they're going to team together to start producing more vaccines. I think it was Moderna. So the point being, you know, I think we all are COVID fatigued. I think we're all ready for this thing to come to an end in a reasonable way. And I get a sense that things are starting, there's a return to normalcy, if you will. Are you sensing the same thing?
I do sense the same thing, and I sense it across the sports world. I am interested to see, Mike, if that path continues in a positive direction, if that means for some of the spring sports and the SEC that attendance restrictions on a local level could be expanded, loosened, relaxed, as other restrictions are loosened and relaxed. It's a local controlled decision. Jim Stirk has made that as clear to everybody as recently as this past week, last week, really, that this is something that comes from a county health department, at least here in Columbia, Missouri, and Boone County. Other places could be different, but it seems like things are on the right track. I think that everybody wouldn't want to see a backslide, so it's probably still important, as much as everybody is fatigued, to just stay this thing out and be vigilant. But as more shots go in arms and the numbers get better, I think we can all start to really see the light at the end of the tunnel. While, and we talked about it from the start, being grateful for where we've come and how far we've come, because it has been quite the journey.
Yeah, it certainly has been. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk hoops. After this, on the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast with Matt Michaels, I'm Mike Kelly. We're presented by Shelter Insurance, and we're back after this.
A shield against the elements. Comfort in the midst of chaos. Shelter in the aftermath of destruction. For 75 years, Shelter Insurance has remained true to our promise to be there when you need us most. This is the heartbeat of our company, our why. And throughout our history, it has never wavered. Shelter Insurance. For your auto, home, and life. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
Matt Michaels and Mike Kelly with you on the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast, presented by our friends at Shelter Insurance. Missouri's basketball team on this Tuesday morning getting set to travel to Gainesville, Florida, for a very important game. Tigers 7-7 in the SEC, Florida 9-5. As you look at the standings, and I just am focused on the top nine, because if you look from 4-9, that's where Missouri could possibly finish in league play based on what happens during the two games this week against Florida and LSU. Alabama clinches its first conference title since 2002. So congratulations to Nate Oates in his second season, 14-2. Eric Musselman in his second season. Right now, he's got a two-game lead over Florida and LSU and Tennessee for second place in the league. So it looks like the Razorbacks are going to close that thing out. They play at South Carolina and then supposed to close the regular season against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. If Texas A&M is still concerned about playing basketball in this day and age. I'm not sure if they have much interest in the sport, to tell you the truth. Florida at 9-5, LSU at 9-6, Tennessee at 5-9-7. Ole Miss now 8-8. They close with Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Missouri 7-7 at Florida against LSU. Kentucky 7-8 at Ole Miss, and then home against South Carolina. And then Mississippi State at 7-9. Again, scheduled to play Texas A&M, and then close the regular season against Auburn. Missouri, you know, you can talk about the South Carolina game, but facts are facts. Missouri's dropped four of its last five games. And the Tigers have got to somehow figure out how to get back on track the way that they played against Alabama in the first half, and the way that they played really throughout the South Carolina game just about a week ago.
Yeah, and I think the awareness is there. I mean, it has to be there amongst the team, right? They know when they've played their best, and they know when they've not played their best. And when they haven't, really in the balance of the season is right now, which is what you don't want to see. And when you talked on Tiger Talk this week with Mitchell Smith about it, I mean, he said, yeah, we know. It's important. It has to happen. So what has to happen to get them there? I think it's the same thing that this team has done at its best all season long, which is a commitment to the defensive end, a commitment to disruption there, a commitment to closeouts, a commitment to not getting lost on that end, trying to run the floor when the opportunity presents itself. I think you can say now that things have settled down a little bit for the team three-point shooting, that as long as they take quality three-pointers, we've seen them make them even in this stretch of some lost games. I think that that can be a facet to what they do. But they still have to get to the rim in their offensive sets, and they have to find ways to create from inside out. And if they don't do it, we've seen them struggle to win games in this last, 3 weeks of basketball.
Xavier Pinson's got to show up. And he's got to return to the form that he had against TCU. He's got to be, and I'm not saying score a career-high 36 points, but attack. Mm-hmm. Get to the free-throw line. Push the ball. Don't be reluctant. Don't spend time out between the circles trying to figure out how much air is in the basketball. Be aggressive when you make moves, and get your teammates involved. And you know, Drew Smith did not play well against Ole Miss. I think the fact that the guards of Ole Miss, I think, have a tendency to bother him because of their athletic ability. I think he bounces back against Florida. He's going to have to. I mean, this is a game that if you're not ready to play, this is a team that's won its last three. From an athletic standpoint, you look at their roster up and down. I mean, athletes up and down the roster. Good guard play with Mann and Locke and Appleby, Scotty Lewis coming off of the bench. You got to be tough. And here's the other thing, the other caveat about this game. Think about this. Missouri's never won in Gainesville. They've never won a game. They're 0-4.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. 0-4, which speaks volumes to, the type of athletes. I think the other thing, too, that you got to consider a little bit, there's nobody on this Missouri roster, nobody, that was recruited by Florida. Think about that. So, I mean, Florida obviously recruits at a very high level. Lewis, a McDonald's All-American, man, a terrific player. Highly regarded coming out of high school. And then you look at the guys that they brought in, the transfers. Castleton's playing really well, the Michigan transfer. The kid from Cleveland State, Appleby, who's moved into their starting point guard position, playing pretty good at this stage of the game. So it's a monumental challenge. I think the next two are monumental challenges for this basketball team.
They are big challenges. I agree with you, Mike. And Missouri cannot go into these games thinking that anything less than best is going to win the game, especially on the road. And they're an experienced team, so they should understand that. But they do have to find a bit of an edge. And that does involve Pinson and Drew Smith getting down the lane and finding people to work to off of that. It does involve Jeremiah Tillman. And by the way, for a Missouri team that, as of this moment, we're not sure about Javon Pickett's status for the game. Konza Martin said he might still be dealing with that ankle injury that has very clearly, I think, hampered him if you've been watching the games throughout the course of the past few weeks. So it's all hands on deck for a matchup like this. I think if there's one area, as I look at some of the fancy stats, right, and according to Ken Pomeroy's numbers, you might be able to get to this Florida team a little bit inside. Yeah. They're really good at everything, but their two-point percentage defense is in the hundreds in the country, which is still all right, but not great. They do defend the three-point arc pretty well. They have a really good block percentage defensively, so the up and under, maybe some extra aggression, use those basic post moves that the Tigers have done to some success this season, but they are a very efficient team, Mike. And so that means you can't give an efficient team extra opportunities. You cannot afford them to win the rebounding battle. You cannot afford to be loose with the ball. The adjusted efficiency that Ken Pomeroy says has Florida at 29th as of this podcast in offensive efficiency and 31st in adjusted defensive efficiency. And teams that can go to the Final Four are those that are in the top 40. And Florida can do that. And by the way, without their best player all season long.
Yeah, right. Keontae Johnson only played in 4 games. Then had the health issues. But Jeremiah Tillman, and we know when Missouri's been at its best, it's when they've played inside out. And he has to get touches early. He's got to be able to try to work down low against Castleton or Payne, depending on who's going to be in the game. I'm intrigued to see that matchup and to see how Missouri attacks Florida inside, because I think that they can. But let's face it. Again, you said it best. All hands on deck, because you got to be there. You got to have an element of toughness to win this game. You got to be together on the defensive end, and it's got to matter, right? I mean, and we've talked all year long about where this team is and the fact that they just 3 weeks ago were ranked as high as 10th in the country. Well, now you got to be kind of cautious as to where you are. Are they a tournament team? Yeah, I believe they're a tournament team. But you see that Joe Lunardi has them as an 8 right now, this week, in the latest release. They're Missouri 6-4 against quad 1, and 2-4, or 2-3 against quad 2. You lose the next two, now you're 6-6. You lose the first game of the SEC tournament, probably against a lower seed like a Mississippi State or something like that. Now you're 2-4 against the quad 2. That 8 seed, starts becoming more and more of a bubble kind of thing, despite everything that you've done throughout the course of the season. So do I think they're going to be – I think they'll be in the tournament, but I think they're looking flatly right now at an 8-9 opportunity.
And that's, I think, the one place this year you don't want to end up, because the people on the one line, I think, are generally head and shoulders above the rest, and I guess there could still be some late movement. But think, if you're in an 8 or 9 against 1, against right now Gonzaga or Baylor – yeah. I mean, you got to play your absolute best game to beat one of those two teams. They've been head and shoulders above the rest. And whoever else might find themselves there is not going to be, any small shakes either. I wonder generally how you feel about this, but I've always felt a dangerous position to be in the tournament is the 6 line. And I think Missouri can find itself on the 6 line if it plays well in these two games, wins a couple in Nashville. all of a sudden you find yourself right there in the thick of that conversation again because of the work you did early. But recency bias is going to take over, Mike, with the committee. We've seen it too many times. If you lose 6 of your last 7, 7 of your last 8, they look at that, how you're playing now. And if how you're playing now is not great, they're going to ding you for it. And you could find yourself in a disadvantageous matchup right from the jump.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, isn't it fun, though, this time of the year, just to kind of pull up all the different pieces of information and just kind of look and see what this guy thinks about this team and the different possible matchups that people are throwing against the wall to see if, indeed, that takes place. You know, just the different – I mean, think about it. 3 weeks ago, everybody was projecting Missouri as a 4 seed.
Right.
And now you're teetering on an 8, possibly a 9, and who knows, being smack dab on the bubble.
And here's the strange thing. If they ran all the way to the SEC Tournament Championship and they carried it and they rattled off, what would it be, 6 in a row? They could end up as a 4 seed. Yeah. A lot can happen in these next couple of weeks, but it's why your best basketball has to be in March. It just always determines what happens in these couple of weeks leading up. And then when you get your matchup in the tournament, I mean, it is what it is, right? You survive in advance.
Yeah. And that first game is always tough in Nashville. I mean, the first game, whether it's been in Nashville or Atlanta or in St. Louis, right, against Georgia, when you had the highest seed that you ever had in tournament play, you lose to Georgia. It's one of those things that it's just going to be, again, this week's really intriguing because of the number of different possibilities. Does Kentucky win Kentucky's going to have to win the league to get in, right? Mm-hmm. Kentucky's going to have to win the SEC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. You think they do it? Can they do it?
I think they can do it. I think right now, if I was ranking the teams in terms of the danger in playing them right now, I'd still have Alabama 1 because when they get hot from 3, I don't think they can get beat. I'd have Arkansas 2 because they've been hot and they've gone against some of the best teams in the league and went face-to-face and beaten them, and they don't really have bad losses. I might go Florida 3 because they've been so consistent all season long, even in the absence of a star, and I really have respect for Mike White as a head coach. And I might go Kentucky 4 because if you get talent hot at this time of year, you win a lot of games, no matter who you are. And what have we said here, Mike? What's probably the most talented team in the Southeastern Conference, despite the fact they haven't played as a team all year, despite the fact they're so young and not been around each other very much? It's Kentucky. It is. If they got it going, they absolutely could do it. I don't think anybody should sleep on the Wildcats in this tournament.
You know, the team that I think baffles a lot of people because of their – and again, they're 9-6 in the league. They're sitting in fourth place, right? Got a chance to move up to, you know, possibly, you know, be the third team. I don't think they'll catch Arkansas. But LSU is probably the second most talented team in the league. You know, and they've got bigs. They've got unbelievable guards. Mm-hmm. And Thomas and Smart. Watford's a former McDonald's All-American. I mean, Days is a guy that gave Missouri fits every time that the Tigers have played LSU. It's just a question on if they want to be there or not. It seems like when you watch them play, you know, if their things are kind of going offensively and they're in a flow, then it transitions to other parts of the game, it seems like. But Thomas is, for a freshman, that kid's a load now.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the best guard in the league.
It could be the best guard in the league, could be the player of the year in the league.
Yeah.
By the time it's all said and done, there's no reason he can't find himself there.
Well, votes. I mean, you got to get votes.
Yeah, but
I mean,
they use him
to control the votes.
As a freshman, they use him.
He's got to get votes to get there. I mean, come on, man.
They use him all the time. He takes so many shots for that team. He's deadly from inside the arc, which means he gets to the rim and gets high percentage shots. His 3-point shooting isn't great, even though he takes a lot of them. If there's one ding to his game, it would be that. But he can break you down and score in so many ways from 2-point range and is such a high percentage of what his team does. But just looking at the fancy stats, I know I like the fancy stats. LSU is a team that can go fast. They're one of the fastest 70 teams in the country, according to Ken Pomeroy. But their adjusted defense is at 147 as we record this. So again, do they want to be there on a night? They absolutely. I think they could defend you out of the gym on the right night. But if they don't want to be there, they'll give up a lot right at the rim. And I think of a matchup against a Missouri team that gets to the rim, at least when they've played their best. Could Missouri beat a team like LSU head up this year if LSU doesn't have its interior defense all set, gives it a little bit of an ole? 100%, because they don't always defend the rim. they allow 52% shooting from inside the arc, Mike. 52%. That's too high for a quality team.
Which tells you what? They just want to get the ball out and go.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're concerned about.
They want to outscore you. And if you do, and if you're flowing, great. But if you don't have your shot that night, and you don't have your best offensive night or your best offensive player or even foul trouble, you're in trouble. I don't think that's the best formula to win this time of year that LSU has right now.
I prefer KenPom as opposed to Ken Pomeroy.
Well, I'm just trying to be nice and give him credit. I mean, we could say KenPom. That's cool. That's the shorthand. It's what the kids do.
Yeah. Who? I'm glad you referred to me as a kid, too. That's the first time that's ever taken place. All right, so the women. Right, they've had a tough season. They've played very, very competitively. They've played good teams very competitively. I think they got a lot of emotion and a lot of some of the past scars exercised some of those demons this weekend when they just absolutely destroyed Mississippi State. And I think that speaks volumes, you know, for a team to now go to the SEC tournament with some momentum. I said this to one of their staff members earlier this year, that they remind me a lot of the 92-93 Missouri men's team that I think lost seven consecutive games at one point in time, went on and won the Big Eight tournament, ended up getting beat by Temple in the first round. But then that same team came back the next year in 93-94 and went unbeaten through the league. I'm not saying they're going to go unbeaten and win the conference title, but that's the type of experiences, the hardships that I think teams have to sometimes endure to see success on the other side. And, you know, Robin and her staff have continually talked about how talented these individuals are, and I think you've seen this in the way, the competitive nature that they have. And, you know, who knows what can happen when they get to the tournament this week.
And you know, the tournament draw is difficult just because it is in this league. If you find yourself on any seed line, it's a difficult draw. But Missouri will not have to play in a play-in game this season. They will play on Thursday. It's a 5 p.m. start time against Alabama, a team that they played way back in December and did not play their best game against. I feel like they are a more composed team now. And they showed it, and Robin Pinchton said it in her post-game comments across the Central Bank Tiger Network. She said, "We defended today. We found a way to play defense. We've been going after our players and finding a way to lock in and do that for 40 minutes. And against Mississippi State, they flat did."
50-50 balls. I mean, they were all over the floor on 50-50 balls.
And the Bulldogs shot 41%. It wasn't terrible shooting in the end from them. But Missouri won those extra possessions. They won those 50-50 situations. It was good to see Shug Dixon, I think, lead the team in scoring, too. And that's someone in the seniors' position who knows it's the last ride, or potentially the last ride. I guess you could decide to come back, since everybody's got that year of eligibility to evaluate for themselves, right? But to see someone else do it, and to see the scoring spread out on this team, and they have, I think, three in double figures in that game, but still find themselves at 77 points, which you can use to win if you defend, they have a chance to get hot. And I thought this, Mike, because if they win their first game against Alabama, they match up with Dawn Staley in South Carolina in the second game of their run, the 2 seed. But I thought, well, watching that game that they played at Carolina earlier this year, that Missouri matched up well physically with the Gamecocks if they had LaDeja Williams on the floor a lot and if they hit threes. And they did that for much of the game and were dead even with the Gamecocks really in that game when they played them for about 2.5, 3 quarters. And then it faded down the stretch and Carolina found a way to win. That is not an impossible game for Missouri. And if they went, beat Alabama, beat South Carolina, and won their final three, I think you seriously have to look at them at the NCAA tournament selection time. They will play their way into a bubble. They will have the opportunities to do that, but now it's win or go home for them the rest of the way, and the WNIT awaits. If you don't make it all the way to the finish line in the big dance, but they have a chance, despite what the numbers and the performance in the league this season will tell you, because when they get hot shooting, they can find their way against anybody on any given night.
Did you hear the conversation that I had with Konzo Monday evening regarding whether guys will be back or not?
Any of the seniors? Not the whole one. No.
Yeah, I asked him. I said, "Have you had any discussions?" He said, "No, I really haven't. I'll wait till later." He said, "But if somebody comes to me and says that they want to come back, my first question, and I'm paraphrasing, right? But basically, he says, my first question is going to be why? Why do you want to come back? Tell me what you hope to accomplish by coming back. And I thought that was really fascinating in that, you know, don't just come back because you want to continue to play basketball. Come back because tell me what you want to accomplish yeah. by coming back. Which again, I thought that was fascinating. And then in talking to Mitchell, asking him, would you consider it? And he said, well, I don't know, maybe, but I think as a group, we'll sit down and talk amongst those guys. I don't know if any of those guys come back. I certainly don't think Drew Smith comes back. I'd be surprised if Mark Smith comes back. You know, Mitchell's a fifth-year guy. You know, I, again, Tillman, we know, has aspirations to play professionally somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see how that dialogue goes and if any of those guys show an interest. But I don't know. You think any of those guys try to come back?
I could see a universe where they all, if they all decided to do it at one time and they said, we have more to achieve here. But that's why when I heard Mitchell Smith say that to you on Tiger Talk and said, I'm going to talk with the other guys, that to me said, if we think as a group we can take it all the way to the end, if we can take to the finish line, like is the team slogan, and really make it, we're going to ask and see if we can all do it. But that requires an immense amount of dedication from a group, and it requires an immense amount of trust from a head coach with others coming in and the cycle that needs to happen to make that occur. I almost see that as an outlier scenario that finds its way when I heard Mitchell Smith say something like that. More likely is that people go their own way because they want to start their own thing, right? I think of the softball team where Eli Daniel last season in the COVID-shortened season, great pitcher at the end of games, ton of saves. She might have been one of the NCAA leaders in saves if they played the whole year through. And she thought about it, and she said, I have a career, I have a degree, I have things I want to get to, I'm done here. You know, and the motivation for her was in the right place, and she had that conversation with Larissa Anderson and moved on, and the team welcomed it. But those are conversations that go two ways, right? Because Konzo Martin obviously has a long-term plan for his program, and the NCAA will say at some point, your roster must be size X, and there are only so many places you can go. So him mentioning to you, Mike, that I'm going to ask them why is the right way, I think, for a coach to go about it. Because if you say the why and you say, I'm here because I want to win an NCAA championship and I'm going to go in every day and do everything I can to make that happen. Okay. Then commit to that. We'll put that on paper and that's the goal.
Yeah.
It takes an amount of trust, but I could see a world in which something like that could happen. Even if it's not likely, it doesn't seem like it right now. Hearing Mitchell Smith say that makes me wonder.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that you think about from a growing a program or building a program, do you deter the growth of your program by having a number of guys come back?
Uh-huh.
Because do you diminish opportunities for guys that are coming in? Now, it looks like, you know, obviously a pretty sizable rebuild next year. If you lose the number of guys that are seniors. And again, Pinson, I think, will make a decision as well in terms of what his future is going to be. I don't think he's ready for the NBA, candidly. You know, and all he had to do is watch the last couple of games and see him, you know, in the limited times he took it to the rim, not being able to finish because he wasn't strong enough. So I think that's something that's got to continue to grow in his game. Mm-hmm. He's got to continue to get stronger, particularly to play at that next level. But, you know, I just wonder, right, if as you're trying to build things and in your mind, this guy's coming in here, this is what he needs. If you're deterring the growth of your program by having a number of guys go back. Now, football, they needed guys. They needed mm-hmm. bodies, right? They needed experienced guys to come back, and they're going to be able to benefit from that. You mentioned softball. Neat story over the weekend. Neat story over the weekend with Catherine Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a walk-off game winner, and I can just hear his voice in my ear. Her grandfather, way to go, Keck, way to go, that away. You know, just it's. I know he's smiling, man. I know he's smiling yeah. and haven't seen what she did. That's it's just such a cool deal.
Well, it is the quintessential Mizzou story, right? Because
yeah.
Catherine wanted to be here, and she was here through turnover in the program. Right. And stayed on and said, I'm going to stick with it. And has been a part of the team forever, and to have that opportunity at the end of the game where you can deliver the big hit and you can have that walk-off moment. And oh, by the way, it's the first hit you had because you've been dedicated to a program for so long and tried to fight your way on that field for so long, but you just love it, and you love being a Missouri Tiger. How can you not smile? And that's a story that is on its own important to celebrate, right? Regardless of course, her grandfather, Mr. Mizzou himself. It is exactly the type of story that I think make people who follow college athletics smile and say, man alive, that's really cool. Good for that. And I know it puts a smile on my face, just like it puts a smile on yours.
Yeah, no question about it. Just a neat thing to read about that over the weekend. All right, so you were off to Frisco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And football continues to practice, a couple of practices this week. Neat thing that Coach Drink's doing with, you know, allowing fans to come in and observe some practices. That's really cool. And it just speaks volumes to how much he gets it, right, in terms of trying to not only build a program on the field, but trying to build awareness and an identity with your fan base as well. I know a lot of people appreciate that.
I think intrinsically understands that interaction and connection mm-hmm. is a part of what his job is. Mm-hmm. It is today. You have to be connected to the fan base. You have to be connected really to the conference in a way, because, I mean, you're one of 14 members of this fraternity in the SEC where football is the thing. So when you see Eli Drinkwitz going on SEC Network, I mean, he's doing that because he understands I have to get my brand out there across this league. People need to feel a connection to me. People need to feel a connection to our program, even if they aren't a fan of our program. They got to know. He gets the word out. He understands that in the state of Missouri, he wants it to all four corners, and that takes work. But he's willing to put the work in. And I think, Mike, he does have just some sort of knack for understanding what a fan's thinking about right then and pushing the little button to say, here you go. Here's your little slice of look forward to, right? When the season goes, it's all in. It's the season. We're locked in. This is our job. But when it comes to this stuff, when it comes to talking season, he's got a bit of an ear and an eye for what works right now. Mm-hmm. And when he pushes those buttons, people are responding. And it is neat to see that it has kind of grown together in that way.
Yeah, certainly is. Well, it's been fun. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds like a plan to me.
It's Matt Michaels. I'm Mike Kelly. Thanks for listening to the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast presented by our friends at Shelter Insurance. We'll talk to you again next week.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Mike Kelly, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.